Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Chapter 16. The glory of him who takes away the first and establishes the second. Topic: I. The proximity of the first priesthood to the other priesthoods of the world and the exclusive present and eternal validity of the second priesthood. Hebrews 10:8-10. Christ, previously saying, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law," then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. If we return a little to what was exposed in the previous topics of this chapter, we may remember that in them it was said that the so-called first and second priesthoods are distinguished from all the other priesthoods in the world, basically, because the two seek the one Creator God, and due to the fact that only these two received a specific reference of priesthoods that were formally authorized by the Lord to be associated with and practiced. Causing that only these two have specific priesthood names expounded more widely in the Scriptures. Nevertheless, when we go a little further in the Scriptures and in the reasons why the first priesthood was also included in them in such a detailed way, we can start to see that this first priesthood is not, in reality, so different from the other priesthoods in the world and that are not approved by the Lord. If for a time the first priesthood distinguished itself from the other priesthoods in the world because it was a priesthood authorized by the Lord to be practiced, this priesthood was no longer in the group of authorized priesthoods from the moment when God sent his only begotten Son to, through him, also to revoke the validity of the first priesthood, by this manner or thus equating this first with the other priesthoods in general in the world in terms of not being valid before the Lord. After Christ's death on the cross of Calvary, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead, the first priesthood also came to the condition of being rejected or not being accepted by God, even though people continue to try to establish a relationship with God through this priesthood. Hebrews 7:18-19. For on the one hand there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect; on the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope, through which we draw near to God. After God allowed the first priesthood to be practiced so that the attempts to establish a priesthood in the strength of the flesh also demonstrated the weakness and uselessness that exist in this type of priesthood. The first priesthood, ultimately, was revealed as a more complete or a more elaborated model than the other priesthoods in which human beings themselves try to establish, in the strength of the flesh, the accomplishment of the various actions to be followed in the priesthoods that they create and with which many people associate themselves. After its weakness and inability to achieve what a true priesthood should establish were exposed for centuries, the first priesthood came to be evidenced as a priesthood similar to other human priesthoods because it had shown itself equally useless to provide what can only be provided by a true priesthood or by the priesthood eternally accepted by God. After the exposition until the exhaustion of the so-called first priesthood, it can be observed that this priesthood is not so different from the other priesthoods in the world, because similarly to the other priesthoods spread over the earth, the first priesthood was also based on the search for divinity according to the strength of the human being or according to the natural or carnal strength, by which no one can, ever, inherit the kingdom of God because no one can reach it by human efforts and merits. In the book of Galatians, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, also shows us that after the coming of Christ into the world, the first priesthood, established on Mount Sinai through Moses, ended up being revealed as associated with a law of fleshly commandment, and that it cannot inherit the heavenly kingdom together with the second priesthood established by God through Christ. Galatians 4:21-5:1. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, Do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But, as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman but of the free. Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If, on the one hand, God allowed the first priesthood to be authorized to be practiced by those who insisted on receiving such a priesthood, with the coming of the second priesthood, the first lost all validity before God to continue to be practiced, since the first priesthood itself exposed its weakness and uselessness after having been practiced for years, centuries, and even more than a millennium. From the revelation and evidence, through Christ, of the second priesthood to the world, and that only the second priesthood was authorized before God, the first priesthood should be seen basically as the record of a broad historical example of facts and of principles that can never lead a person to a profound transformation of life and to a condition of relating in freedom with the Lord. And finally, since the so-called first was a very broad and complete priesthood in its proposition of the human being trying to perform all the priesthood that he aspired to establish before God, despite never being able to do it through it, this priesthood ended up becoming a generic model of all the other priesthoods elaborated by human beings. Because all the other priesthoods elaborated by people over the centuries end up being a variation of the model of the first priesthood and everything that is in its respective law. The first priesthood, in a sense, was made known to the world so that from the knowledge of it, people can also discern the other priesthoods that are contrary to the will of God, because, essentially, all the priesthoods proposed by human beings will end up incurring into propositions based on the weakness of human wisdom or nature and not on the wisdom and the power of God. Therefore, because the second priesthood is the only one that can indeed lead a person to achieve a relationship with the true divinity, that is, with the one Creator and eternal God, it is also only the second priesthood that came to have the authorization and approval before God after a comprehensive revelation of this second priesthood was presented to the world. To insist on the practice of the first priesthood and to insist on making defenses to this priesthood currently is, then, a position of resistance to the will and the proposition of the saving righteousness that God offers to humanity. Even if people who practice the first priesthood or similar to it try to demonstrate zeal for God. Romans 10, 1-4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. In Christ is the end of the first priesthood, because in Christ is also the end of the law of the first priesthood. After the clear revelation of the weakness and uselessness of the first priesthood and the perfection and eternal glory of the second priesthood, this second priesthood, established through Christ and in Christ, became the only valid priesthood before God and which remains the only recognized in the present and for all eternity. Today and forever, the second priesthood is the last and the exclusive priesthood accepted before God and will never be shaken or removed. Hebrews 7, 20-24. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek," by so much more Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also there were many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood.